We're here with Dave Salverson, who is a president of the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. Dave is going to tell us a little bit about Canada-U.S. trade issues, including country of origin labeling. So, again, Dave Salverson with the Canadian Cattlemen's Association.
Thank you, Will. Good morning, folks. I'd just like to start off by saying the Canadian Cattlemen's Association highly values its relationship with the United States. We believe in free and open trade in both cattle and beef, and that goes both directions across our shared border. Unfortunately, the U.S. Country of Origin labeling legislation implemented over 6 years ago has been a significant trade barrier for Canadian cattle producers and also hog producers and Mexican livestock producers as well. Before country of origin labeling, Canada would routinely export around 1.3 million head of feeder and fed cattle to the U.S. each year. Since COOL was implemented, our live cattle exports has significantly reduced, with the most severe impact on finished fed cattle. The cattle we do export are significantly discounted to compensate for the handling costs for the U.S. feedlots and packers that must segregate them to ensure they label the beef in accordance with the COOL legislation. Despite this negative impact to the U.S., there's been little interest in the U.S. In correcting the situation. In fact, you know, until now, quite the contrary. WTO dispute settlement panels have ruled three times already that COOL violates the WTO agreements. Rather than act to address these rulings, Congress and the USDA have appealed them to delay resolution, and the only action they have taken is to make the situation worse. The current appeal by USDA will only delay the inevitable, and we expect that by this coming summer, either the U.S. will have to comply or Canada will implement retaliatory tariffs on U.S. exports to our market. And that's not where we want to go. We regret it has come to this, but it seems that without a crisis, the Congress will continue to ignore our pain. Our hope is that they will act soon to prevent Canada from moving to this next phase. We've been at AFBF this week to ensure that America's farmers and ranchers are aware of what is at stake and to seek their assistance in bringing U.S. COOL legislation into conformity with the WTO. We've been warmly welcomed here, and we're deeply grateful for having such strong partners and friends at ABF. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning, and if there are any questions, I'd be pleased to take them.
In terms of head of actual cattle coming into the U.S., do you have any
The most recent, as I described earlier, Will, the numbers have gone down. Like in 07, we were exporting about 545,000 head of feeder cattle and 830,000 direct for slaughter. That number has shrunk to 364,000 direct for slaughter and 357,000 feeder cattle. And those feeder cattle, you know, that plays a pretty big part. That fills a lot of yards in, you know, the states that we export to, Iowa, Nebraska. They really depend on our cattle, and it's a big part of the reason, you know, you're able to keep infrastructure, keep your plants going. Some of those plants, you know, couldn't survive without the Canadian cattle. Yes.
WTO said you can have a labeling rule. You're just going about it the wrong way.
Yes.
So from the Canadian cattleman perspective, how do you view a rule that consumers can know where cattle were raised? And where do you see that U.S. is wrong in what they're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. We agree with the concept or the philosophy of country of origin labeling. Consumers have the right, you know, and we have no problem with putting product of Canada on our box beef that comes south. The only issue and the reason it's come to the World Trade Organization is the fact that the way that the current country of origin labeling is implemented causes so much unnecessary cost right through, you know, keeping the live animals segregated, and right through to the retail with all the products that come. So there is a label option somewhere where we can work together, and it will. What we need is elimination of segregation. So, but our coalition and ourselves agree that right now the best is to appeal, or repeal rather, the country origin labeling rules as we have it on red meats, and then build from there. Well, I'm not going to go into we need a legislative repeal of the current. So, and then I think we'll have to get together and see what is proposed, and if it's acceptable to Canada and Mexico to get back to an integrated, unsegregated, and so there are options, but I'm not, well, voluntary. I mean, there are options where a value chain or any kind of a operation could do that segregation if they are willing to pay the cost. But to put it across the whole industry, you know, so I think just set up a system that voluntary would work at any level of labeling that they see fit. Let commerce decide.
Spencer Chase with AgriPulse, and I apologize. I'm going to ask a bit of a devil's advocate question here. If I am John Q. beef producer somewhere in the middle of America, and I believe that my beef is a superior product, and I want the consumer to know that, and I really feel that the beef that we're producing here is just far and away better than beef that we can get in other countries, how do you think we can manage that middle ground between us or American producers wanting to distinguish their American product, but still allowing for the global commerce that is clearly at play here?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the difference between a branded program that we, we support branded voluntary labeling, and a mandatory. You know, I've described it as to our concern is when animals come live into the country, and the unnecessary cost to both us as the supplier of the animal and the U.S. feeders or packers that are wanting to use it, that's where the cost is. So, but as far as we have no opposition to voluntary branding programs and things like that. You know, there's a little bit of that back home too. Like, there's an awful lot of U.S. beef comes into Canada, and of course Canadians assume that Canadian beef is superior, so a lot of U.S. beef comes in and it's sold not clearly labeled.
Lane Nordland, Northern Ag Network, Montana, Wyoming, and the Western Dakotas. You talked about possible tariffs being placed on U.S. exports. What are some of those products? I would assume it'd be slaughter horses as well, probably on some of those. Because that's where we have to send ours out of our areas up
right
to Canada. But what would be some of those tariffs for our listeners at home to understand?
Okay, I don't believe slaughter horses are on the list, but beef and pork are on the list, and I think it should be pointed out or clearly pointed out this is a potential list, and it likely will be a carousel type where. It won't be on a product for forever. There'll be a revolving list, but it was very strategically, the list came up with areas of the country that were more opposed to fixing cool. So there's things on the list. John, you could probably give a, John Maswell is more up on what exactly is on the list, but there are some agriculture products. John Maswell.
Yeah, it's a fairly extensive list. If you look at a lot of the value-added products, agriculture products that the United States exports to Canada, so there's beef, there's pork, there's cakes, cookies, things like stuffed pasta, ketchup, but there's also some non-agriculture products on there as well. There's office furniture, mattresses, I think there's wine, whiskey. So there's a broad variety of products that are on that list. And Dave was mentioning it's strategic. And we've looked at areas represented by congressmen and senators that have not been supportive of resolving this issue. So it has that impact.
And one thing, like some of those tariffs can be as high as 100%, which will not mean that 100% tariff is collected. What it'll mean is it'll actually stop trade, and that's not our objective. We want trade to continue, but we're pleased that the government is supportive of us in this way.
Chris Clayton, DTN. When is that WTO last decision expected? Will it be before May when the Secretary has to present something to Congress?
Yeah, I think I'm going to ask John to come back. I believe the ruling is in February, the dispute, or the appeal, and then
I think the
implementation.
The timeline that we know right now is that a hearing has been set for the middle of February, and that probably means there'll be a decision right around that time. I would guess late spring is probably when a decision would come, but we don't know exactly when it would be. So it may be right around then.
Just throughout the course of this process, are you getting kind of a different tone from your American counterparts of maybe they were a little more gung-ho towards country of origin labeling at the beginning of the process, but maybe through WTO appeals, they might be looking more towards congressional appeal and seeing what else we can do that'll still get labeling, but under a different system?
I think that's a good point. And yeah, over the years that I've been coming to the U.S., for instance, the NCBA winter meetings, you know, years ago, there was at that time there was a lot bigger trade imbalance. Like we were sending a lot of beef and pork to the States and not really importing, you know, a whole lot. But that trade balance has shifted to very much a balanced situation. We're importing $2.8 billion worth of U.S. meats. It's, you know, we've been in the U.S. top market, or the top three, one of the top three markets every year in the last five. So that, I think, has changed the thinking of a lot of producers in the U.S. that were very sort of protectionist, you know, years ago, that they're realizing now that how important trade is to them, and how important Canada is as a market. Well, thank you very much for your interest this morning, and hope to have an opportunity to talk about resolution of this long-standing issue quite soon. Thank you.